This program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Anna Dean Silver from the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Out in the Garden. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from the book The First Time Gardener, Growing Vegetables by Jessica Sowards. And we had stopped last time in Chapter 5, The Need for Seed or Not. And we left off with the topic, Growing from Seed. And I was reading a Tips for Plant Shopping. And I'll read a little part of that again, just because we left off in the middle of it. The leaves tell a lot about the health of a plant. Avoid purchasing any plants with very pale, spotted, or heavily curled leaves. They should not be wilted. All of these things can be signs of stress or sickness. And this is all from going to stores or around town to pick up already planted beginning plants. So this is information about what to look for when you do buy those plants from a grocery store or a big box store or any other, hardware stores or any other places that have plants already grown for you instead of seeds. Look for plants with strong stalks. They should not be broken or struggling to stand up. Purchase from a retailer that is caring for their plants. If the entire display of plants is dry and wilted, purchase elsewhere. Those plants have likely not been regularly cared for and may not grow or transplant well. You may notice some small plants have already begun to set fruit. This may feel like a head start or bonus, but you'll need to prune those fruits and blossoms off when you transplant. Your plant needs to focus on developing a root system before it puts energy into fruit development. And another little article here, just a sidestep here, is protect transplants from possible frost. Be aware, new gardener, just because plants are being offered for sale at your local stores does not necessarily mean it's the right time to grow them. Make sure you familiarize yourself with your estimated last frost date and always check your 10-day weather forecast before planting. Many new gardeners have excitedly transplanted flats of frost-tender plants they purchased from the store, only to lose their garden to a late freeze a few days later. If you purchase plants and cannot plant them right away, simply keep them in a sunny location, watering at least every other day, until you can transplant them to your prepared garden spot. Bring them indoors at night until all danger of frost has passed. And another little item is set reminders. The number one downfall of the new seed starter is forgetfulness. It is important to maintain the moisture in the soil for seeds to germinate and succeed, so they need to be checked on at least daily. Set an alarm on your phone until it becomes routine to care for your seedlings. A very minimal amount of routine care will pay off largely with seed starting. And we're going to continue. And this chapter was Growing from Seed. So we'll continue with this information. And if growing a garden from seed is so wonderful, why doesn't everyone do it? Starting seeds is not foolproof. There is a learning curve, and it's devastating to work hard and invest in starting plants only to make a mistake and lose your progress. Even as a very experienced seed starter, I still have failures. But there are few and far between now. Seed starting requires a small amount of daily attention. A few days of negligence or using the wrong materials can mean the loss of your seedlings. However, I have spoken with many first-time gardeners who began their first garden from seed with much success. The wonderful thing about starting seeds is the fact that they want to grow. You aren't trying to coax something to behave contrary to its nature. Seeds really, really want to grow. After a few years of gardening, you will inevitably end up with many volunteers, plants that spring up in your garden from seeds carried on the wind, deposited by a bird or an animal, or left behind from the fallen fruit from years past. Volunteer plants always remind me that I'm not in charge of this growing process. They tell me that I am just partnering with nature to give seeds the ideal circumstances to do what they already are designed to do. And our next topic, supplies for seed starting success. Since we know that seeds want to grow, all we are responsible for is giving them the best shot at succeeding. Moisture, temperature, and light are the key factors in growing healthy plants from seeds. Let's discuss what is needed to create the most ideal circumstances for your seedlings to germinate, which is the process of breaking out of the dormancy of being in a seed and grow into a healthy plant ready to move to the garden. Well-draining containers. Paper or peat pots, recycled party cups, or yogurt cups, take-out containers, biodegradable planting bags, purchased seed starting pots, cell trays, or soil blocks made from a soil blocker can all be used to start your seeds. Whatever you use, it needs to be clean. Plastic pots can be saved and reused year after year, but they should be washed with warm, soapy water before being replanted to reduce the spread of plant disease. It needs to have the ability to drain. If you are repurposing party cups or giving a second life to single-use plastic food containers, make sure you poke or drill holes in the bottom. Just a few small holes will do. Your containers need to be big enough, but not too big. If you start your plants in very small cell seed starting trays, they will need to be potted up, transplanted into a larger pot before they are ready for their place in your garden. This is not a bad thing, but it should be taken into consideration because it is an extra step of work. If you use containers that are very large, your soil costs will be unnecessarily high, and these pots will take up quite a lot of space. with varieties that are started 2 or 3 weeks before being moved to the garden, I still often use biodegradable pots. Those are an eco-friendly option than plastic, and they are preferable for plant varieties that don't like having their roots disturbed. The drawback of these pots and any paper or pulp pot is that they can be very difficult to maintain healthy moisture. For all other types of plants, I like to use high-quality plastic 2-inch nursery pots. They hold moisture well, fit uniformly into nursery trays, which is conducive to starting a large number of plants, and can be reused year after year. When I was first getting started in gardening, before my garden was very large, I very successfully started all my starts in secondhand red party cups and recycled yogurt containers. I would stack the cups and drill holes through the bottom of the entire stack. They were a cost-effective solution to my need for containers and are still a good option for someone getting started. Fully non-compacted soil. Use a purchased soil that is labeled for seed starting or labeled as potting soil. Potting soil may need to be sifted through a screen to remove larger bits of mulch or debris. Potting soil is usually significantly cheaper than soil specifically marked for seed starting, and once it is screened of debris, it performs the same. Do not use soil labeled as garden soil or compost. These will be far too heavy for delicate seedlings to establish root systems. If you unknowingly started seeds in one of these mediums and are experiencing stunted seedlings, transplant them into a lighter soil. They will often begin to grow very quickly again. Heat. Seeds need warmth to germinate. The ideal soil temperatures for most seeds to germinate is 68 degrees Fahrenheit or 20 degrees centigrade to 85 degrees Fahrenheit or 29 degrees centigrade. If seeds are left in soil that is too cool, usually they will simply wait for warmer days. In most cases, cool soil temperatures will just lend to a longer time for the gardener. However, if they are kept for a long period of time in soil that is both too cool and too wet, they may rot. If you are starting seeds in your home, the ambient temperature will probably be warm enough for healthy germination. An inexpensive heat mat purchased online anywhere gardening supplies are sold can raise the temperature of the soil slightly without overheating it. This makes germination happen quicker, but it is not expressly necessary. Light. Most vegetable seeds do not need light to germinate. The exception to this is lettuce, which should be sown very near the surface in a well-lit area. As soon as they break through the soil, though, they will need light to begin their process of photosynthesis and growth. If light is insufficient, seedlings will quickly stretch out too thin and too tall, becoming what is called leggy. Leggy seedlings have a very weak stem, break easily, and struggle to thrive. In some cases, they can be recovered, but it is best to avoid legginess from the start by providing adequate lighting. If you have a very sunny south-facing window, you may be able to forego the use of artificial light. Line your containers along the windowsill. If you notice your seedlings stretching out toward the window, rotate them daily so they are exposed on all sides. A grow light is a very good investment for someone starting their gardening journey, either by using a product marketed for gardeners or by using a basic fluorescent light. You can turn even the darkest closet, basement, or spare room into your seed starting space. Install the light and position according to the directions, usually within a few inches of your seedlings. If you notice your seedlings stretching toward the light, move them closer to it. And our next topic is seed packs demystified. Receiving your seed order in the mail is possibly one of the most exciting things of the garden planting season. Seeds hold so much promise. But when you are brand new to gardening, you can also hold a lot of mystery. I felt my fair share of frustration starting at the back of a seed package. Staring at the back of a seed package, searching for its few lines of information in hopes of understanding how to turn these seeds into food on the table. The longer I teach people about gardening, the more I commiserate with the writers working for seed companies. A seed pack is a very small space on which to equip a person to be successful in gardening. And it's no wonder people can feel so confused when trying to decipher exact instructions that are so briefly given. Let's talk about some of the language commonly used on seed packets and how to apply it to your garden planning. Sell-by dates. One very commonly misperceived bit of information on seed packs is the little date that states the year the seeds are to be sold. This is not an expiration date. Seeds are not like dairy products. They do not spoil as soon as that date comes and goes. There are regulations that require seed companies to sell new seeds every year and to clearly state the year the seeds were packaged. Seeds will last for years when they are stored in a cool, dry place. Their germination may decrease slightly as years go by, but I have successfully grown many seeds that were several years old. Days to maturity. This is one of the more unclear terms used because we are given an exact number of days, but we aren't always told when the countdown of the days begins. The general assumption is this. If it is a variety that is more commonly started indoors, such as tomatoes, peppers, and eggplants, the listed number of days to maturity is how long it takes from the date of transplant to the first harvest. If it is a crop that is more commonly direct sown, cucumbers, melons, and squash, for instance, it is referring to the length of time it takes from planting the seed in the garden to picking the first fruit from the plant. Planting depth. Almost all seed packs list a measurement explaining how deeply a seed should be sown. This is important information because one of the leading causes of poor germination is sowing a seed too deep. When that seedling breaks out of its shell, it has enough energy to reach the soil surface, where it will begin to produce more energy by photosynthesis. If it is planted too deeply, it may die before it can reach the sunlight. However, if you don't have clear instructions on planting depth, follow this rule of thumb. All seeds should be planted twice as deep as they are wide. And here's a little note. Resistance makes the stem grow stronger. Seedlings that have grown their entire lives in the controlled environment of your home or greenhouse can have the distinct drawback of being weak. They have not had to grow strong against the wind and elements of the outdoors, and this is to their detriment. When your seedlings are very small, place a fan in the room with them to move the air. The fan does not need to be pointed directly at your seedlings. Just make sure the air is moving in the room to give your seedlings a little movement. When you check on your seedlings daily, run your hands across them, gently touching them, helps develop stem strength and also helps avoid leggy, weak stems. When to start. Many seed packs will have a time, for example, 6 weeks before last frost, listed that the seeds should be started indoors or directly sown in the garden. This is not the only time the seeds can be planted. Usually, seed packs are giving advice based on the assumption that you'll be starting a garden in the spring, and these instructions are telling you the earliest you should start your seeds. Seeds can be grown any time during the year that you can be provided with the light and warmth they need. Spacing. Seed packs will usually give you two spacing distances. One will tell you a required distance between plants. One will list a required row spacing. Many of the measurements listed for row spacing were developed in modern farming practices that utilize machinery. Just account for the plant spacing. If it says plants should be 24 inches apart, give the plant 24 inches in all directions. This way, you can plant in rows or raised beds without concern for irrelevant row spacing requirements. And our next topic is how to start seeds indoors. Place loose, light soil in your containers of choice. Wet the soil before planting. Watering before planting is a bit messier because you are now then dealing with damp soil rather than dry, but it eliminates the risk of pushing the seeds too deep into the soil with water afterward. Soil should be damp but not soggy. Imagine a sponge that is wet but not dripping. This is the level of soil moisture you want through the entirety of your seed starting process. process, but it is most important before germination. Seedlings that have sprouted under the soil will die very quickly if they become too dry. Check the soil moisture daily. Watering with a spray bottle or a small watering can when needed. Aim to maintain that damp sponge level of moisture until your seedlings have their first true leaves, which coincides with the development of deeper roots. Placing your pots in a tray or dish that can catch and hold excess water will help ensure they do not dry out. Place 2 seeds per pot. They can be thinned after they sprout, but this gives you some insurance against poor germination. Plant seeds twice as deep as the seed is wide. Provide warmth, 68 degrees Fahrenheit to 85 degrees Fahrenheit, and light 14 to 16 hours a day, and maintain moisture. After the first true leaves appear, you can begin watering every 2 to 3 days as needed. Thinning and separating. Even if you do everything right, some seeds won't germinate. Planting extra seeds guarantees you will have as many plants as you are hoping for. However, you may be faced with extra seedlings that need to be separated or thinned. Leaving more than one seedling in each pot is a bad idea. They will compete with each other for resources, growing tall and leggy as they struggle against one another for light. It's better to have one healthy plant than a few weak ones. Thin by pinching or cutting the excess seedlings off at the soil level. If you don't have the heart to snip your seedlings off at the soil, you can attempt to separate them. Most seedlings are forgiving of being handled as long as it's done very gently. Scoop seedlings out with as much of the root as you can. Very gently tease the roots apart and plant the seedlings in their own individual pots. We've run out of time for today's episode of Out in the Garden. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Anna Dean Silver, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Out in the Garden is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service. And we will continue next time in our next podcast with the continuing of seed planting and transplanting. We hope we'll see you then.